Hello and welcome to Agri-Food Matters, a new monthly podcast from the UCD School of Agriculture and Food Science that aims to shed light on the topics that really matter in the world of agriculture and food. I'm Sean Duke and I'll be your host. Today in our first episode, we'll discuss sustainability in agriculture and the drive towards practicing agriculture and the production of food in a more environmentally friendly way. You'll hear first from Alex Evans, head of the School of Agriculture and Food Science, who will provide us with an overview of the sustainability challenges facing agriculture in Ireland and around the world, as well as outlining some solutions that researchers at UCD are working on. Later, you'll hear from Tommy Boland, Professor of Ruminant Nutrition and Sheep Production, about his research into reducing the emissions of methane greenhouse gas from cattle and sheep. We'll also feature a regular slot with Judy Dowsett, who will bring us up to date with the very latest research and activities of interest to the public going on inside the school. So let's get the ball rolling and hear first now from Alex Evans. I began by asking him to outline what the sustainability issues are in agriculture and how they might be addressed.
Agriculture in Ireland is now more than ever under the environment microscope. The environmental challenges are climate change and greenhouse gas emissions. I think everybody's very well aware of that. It's around water quality. This is something which has disimproved in Ireland lately. Agriculture is a contributor, but not solely to blame. And then one which is coming on the radar more and more now is the biodiversity challenge, where the a range of plants and animals that we have in our environment contributes not only to the effectiveness of agricultural enterprises, but also to the health of the environment, which is something that we need to come to grips with more and more. Now, whilst agriculture is really contributing to the environmental challenges, I think we should pause for a moment to realize that agriculture actually has the solution to some of these environmental challenges. So on the biodiversity issue, biodiversity in Ireland is almost by definition at farm level, and it can solve our problems. Agriculture is the one industry which, whilst contributing to greenhouse gas emissions, can actually be part of the solution to our greenhouse gas emission challenges. The simplest one is to plant trees and capture carbon, but I think the real future is in capturing more carbon in our soils, where most of the world's carbon is currently held, and if we can use science to improve carbon capture in our soils, we will make a huge difference to the climate change challenge.
Now, here in the School of Ag and Food Science at UCD, how can you help Ireland with a lot of these issues? I mean, in terms of the various issues that you've just mentioned and the solutions?
I think as a university, we would take a two-pronged approach to that. Being a university, education is really a huge part of what we do. Educating and producing graduates of the highest caliber who are going to be the, let's call them the practitioners in the food industry of the future, be they the farmers, be they the food chain actors, be they the businessmen or women, they are going to make a difference. So they are the people who are actually going to execute and run these businesses. We graduate about 500 experts per year in all the different levels. They then are knowledgeable, but they then can go out and spread the word to their friends and families, their customers, their suppliers. And at an education level, I think this is crucial for Ireland. Everybody in Ireland has to buy into the sustainability challenge that we face, which in many ways is beyond food and agriculture. And education is a really big part of that.
And in terms of some of the examples, you could give maybe one or two of people who are working on problems, issues that could yield a solution that would be really useful. Maybe you could mention one or two.
So look, I summarized how the sustainability challenge cuts across a lot of areas. We have experts, Michael Wallace, for example, working on the economics of agriculture and food. The beef challenge is one that he considered lately, taking an unbiased approach to the challenges and summarizing those quite nicely. I think he's brought to the forefront the real issues for that sector of our industry. We've got people, Professor Boland and Dr. Sheridan, who are not willing to accept that our grass-based system as it was is what it should be in the future. And they're looking at ways to buck the trend and see what maybe we can resurrect from a long time ago and what sort of new plants we should possibly include in our pastures going forward. A fascinating work. We've got my colleagues in food science looking at the future of food. Eating habits have changed. Coronavirus possibly brought us around our tables at home more than they did, but the future eating habits are much more snack-oriented, much more on-the-move-oriented, and people are constantly looking for different types of foods. There's work ongoing there. And then the public health challenge is very much there. We've got people working on understanding the individual health of people as a result of what they eat, and collectively public health, the consequences of what individuals consume and the impact that has on public health, how to change, how to improve these things through education, through knowledge sharing, through through affecting public policy. These are just examples of some of the things that my colleagues have worked.
And of course, the people that you're producing, just to mention that finally, I mean, they are the ones that are going to be like the stormtroopers for agricultural sustainability. And are you confident that new generation is up to the challenge?
Yeah, I think that I think across the education sector, people were trained for known enterprises and known businesses. Whereas I think now we try and give our students much more of a toolbox of knowledge that they can apply to challenges which they or we haven't we come across yet. We talk about training for people for jobs that have not yet been created. But I think also one of the big changes now is that we live in a much more globalized world. Everybody is going to trade across borders. If you don't have a job outside Ireland and you're working inside Ireland, you will still be trading with people going out or requiring products coming in. And your consequences have got, your actions have got global consequences. So I think that the graduates of the present are much more globally aware. And I think they are the people who are going to make the difference going forward.
You mentioned that agriculture is the solution, which is great to hear because sometimes people think it might be part of the problem. So agriculture is the solution to a lot of these issues we're talking about around sustainability. But UCD here, the research is also part of that solution. So, tell me about the research. What kind of solutions are you looking at?
Yeah, so universities are places where people like to get together and solve problems, and they do this by generating new knowledge through research. And in our School of Agriculture and Food Science, and again across the wider UCD spectrum, we've got people working on individually on all the challenges, be it the challenge that soils face or the solutions that soils can present to those challenges, be it economic solutions, social solutions through rural development, through knowledge transfer, solutions through the contribution of plants and animals to people's diets, solutions through food science, through human nutrition, through agricultural economics. Experts working in each of these come together to work on these problems, and I think individually yet collectively they will make a big difference.
And can we, just a general question, I'm thinking like a consumer here, I suppose, can we move our agriculture here in Ireland to a place where it's more sustainable, we're also providing food at a reasonable price that's healthy, and so, you know, we're becoming more sustainable, but we're also supplying people with the food they need at the price they can afford?
I think agriculture produces raw materials, which pretty much all of them in isolation are healthy. However, when we put them in combinations or even in volumes, maybe that's when we get public health and personal health challenges. So that's very much about the industry that uses those raw materials to produce foods and about how people perceive what they should eat, what they enjoy eating. and how they integrate their diet with their lifestyle. So yeah, I think agriculture is part of the solution, but people buying into what's best for them and their environment is also a big part of the solution to the sustainability challenge.
You think Ireland can become a world leader in this? I mean, are we in that kind of position? We do have a lot of natural advantages, I guess, for agriculture here.
Relative to the rest of the world, Ireland is a small country, as we all know. But being on a small island, we had the opportunity to look at all our moving parts at one time. And when we bring all that knowledge together, I think we can come up with models and practices for sustainability, which we already know many other parts of the world look to us to adopt once we have tried and tested and demonstrated their value. So certainly I think Ireland can be a leader in developing sort of sustainable living solutions. This goes beyond agriculture. And, you know, being the School of Agriculture and Food Science, I think we have a very strong role to play in that land use, environment, food and public health piece.
You were listening there to Alex Evans discussing the global challenge of making agriculture and food production more sustainable. Now, in a regular slot, I'm going to talk to Judy Dowsett about some of the latest research and activities going on inside the school.
Julie, hi. Maybe first begin by telling us, what's your background and what do you do at UCD?
Hi, Sean. Yeah, so I'm a dietitian, actually. So I worked for many years as a hospital dietitian. And during that time, I found I really enjoyed the teaching component of it. So in 2006, I moved to UCD and we set up a PhD development program over the years. And the idea of that is to upskill PhD researchers for a job and a career in the agri-food sector. So that's what I do at the moment.
Okay, brilliant. So you're going to give us some insights into some aspects of the research going on in the school and how it might impact us, all of us in the general public.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that actually that's quite an important thing. And that's one of the skills we try to teach PhD researchers, because they're obviously experts in the specific area that they're working in, but some of them struggle in being able to explain to a non-scientific audience what they're doing and the relevance of it. So I hope within this slot, what I'm going to do is try to bring some of the research and the very valuable and relevant research which is going on in the school in UCD to a wider audience.
Brilliant, brilliant. So we look forward to that. So a good place to start. Well, we have to kind of start with COVID, maybe, the dreaded COVID. So presumably that's had a big impact on what we're eating and how people are eating.
Well, yes, hasn't it? I mean, if you just cast your mind back to March of last year, and you know how suddenly we panicked, you know, there was panic buying of pasta and toilet rolls and flour for home baking. I think people were scared, very scared of going into supermarkets. And so maybe we were looking a little bit more at what we already had and what we could make from kind of store cupboard ingredients. We were much more conscious of wasting things. We were eating out less. And maybe some of those things actually had benefits. I mean, I think anything that means that we're going to be wasting less food and that we're going to be eating and being a bit more conscious about buying locally and from local suppliers is probably a really good thing.
Absolutely, it's not all bad. So this has been investigated or researched, the change in people's food habits at UCD. I think people are doing research on it. Eileen Gibney, I think, is one of the people. So how have our food habits changed since COVID landed on us?
Well, early on in the pandemic, Professor Eileen Gibney in UCD and her colleagues developed a survey. UCD are actually historically really well known for doing surveys on what we're eating in Ireland. Some really interesting research has come out over the years. So they were quite ideally placed to do a quite a quick turnaround of developing a survey where they assessed 4,000 people by survey to see what they were eating. And what they found was that 50% of people, probably not surprisingly, 50% of people reported changes in the way that they eat. So that might have been in snacking more or in buying in less takeaways. And interestingly, about 30% of those people had gained weight. I think what we can see from anything like this is that different sections of society, respond in different ways. So there was one section of society that were increasing food, were at home, were working from home, snacking more, and that type of thing. Younger people, which is quite nice to see, the younger groups that responded to the survey reported that they did a lot more physical activity than prior to COVID. So that was quite a nice thing to see.
One of the things we've seen with COVID is that it impacts on lower income and vulnerable groups more so than others. So is that what we're also seeing with diet?
Yes, absolutely, Sean, it is. And the survey actually showed that 20% of people who responded were eating a more limited variety of foods, with 10% eating foods they didn't even like due to the lack of availability. And part of the survey was also to ask community groups for feedback. And they were saying that struggling families were finding it hard on a number of levels. One was having people at home all day. So that means bills were being increased, like heating bills and electricity bills. But also people who would normally be depending on food provision through schools or breakfast club schemes weren't getting that food. And social distancing was impacting in food provision as well. So if you think of soup runs or, in shelters where a sheltered accommodation for people to be able to access food, the social restrictions that were being placed on people were really impacting on how many people that they could service through.
True that. Yeah. And I mean, this is very important information, obviously, if you're a government or an agency or anybody that has an interest in trying to, respond to these changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's all part of why this research is done. So it kind of impact on policy and that we can have some understanding going forward. Who are the particularly vulnerable groups? If people wanted to know any more about this, it's called the National COVID-19 Food Study, and it's available on the Institute for Food and Health website, or just Google COVID diet and UCD and you'll get it.
Oh, great. So is there anything of interest coming up in the immediate future in UCD that the public could tap into?
Well, yeah, there's ongoing public lectures and a very good one recently, actually, available as well online. If anyone wanted to look at that website, the Institute of Food and Health, where Professor Helen Roach spoke about some of the research she's been doing on immunity and diet. And she gave a very nice overview of how we can bolster our immune system through good food choices. So that's really one that's worth looking at.
Okay, yeah, I'll check that out myself. So listen, thanks a million, Julie, and we look forward then to talking to you next time.
Thanks, Sean.
Finally today, let's hear now from Tommy Boland, who's been conducting fascinating research on reducing the emissions of methane greenhouse gas from our cattle and sheep, showing how agriculture can be a driver to introduce more sustainable food production systems.
I asked him first to remind us what ruminants are and how they are currently produced in Ireland.
Well, the ruminants, if we think of ruminants in Ireland, we're talking about cattle and sheep, basically. They're the main ruminants we have in this country. And, to look at what a ruminant is, it's a herbivore, and it's a very special type of herbivore because it is a highly evolved stomach or digestive system. So whereas humans, we have one compartment to our stomach, ruminants actually have four stomachs, or more accurately, four compartments to that stomach. And the reason for these four compartments is to allow ruminants to digest plant material that you and I as humans can't actually digest or extract nutrition from. And the way ruminants do that is by the fact that they have a very large population of bugs, bacteria and fungi living in that rumen, one of the four compartments in the stomach. And it's the bacteria and the fungi which actually break down these plant materials and plant components. So that's why ruminants can eat grass and perform very well on that grass. So in relation to how we farm ruminants in Ireland, our ruminant systems, our cattle systems and our sheep systems are predominantly grass-based. That's why we see cattle and sheep outdoors in the fields for, you know, a large proportion of our year here in Ireland.
What are some of the environmental impacts from our current way of doing things?
And I suppose the one we hear the most about in Ireland and at a global level is the fact that ruminants produce a greenhouse gas called methane. And this methane, it's a byproduct, or it naturally occurs when the ruminants digest the feed in the rumen or in the stomach. In addition to that, ruminants have evolved to excrete nitrogen. Now, nitrogen is a nutrient that's found in plant material and in a number of food sources. It's also important to support plant growth. So when ruminants excrete high levels of nitrogen, or when they're stocked at very high concentrations, some of this nitrogen can make its way into the environment, either as gases into the atmosphere or into the air, or as nutrients going into the waterways, which can cause environmental concerns and pollution issues in some instances.
Can you tell me about your own research, Tommy, into feed additives or ingredients that could reduce methane or nitrogen excretion?
Yes, there's a lot of research nationally and internationally going into this area. And I suppose it's a difficult area of research in some ways, because this system, this ruminant system, or this environment inside in the stomach of our cows and sheep, that's evolved over millions and millions of years to function as it does. And now we're coming along and trying to change that functionality. So it takes time, but we're looking at various feedstuffs, you know, different types of grass and different plants, or feed additives or feed ingredients that can change how the stomach functions in the cow or the sheep to reduce nitrogen excretion or to reduce methane emissions. And I'm sure many of your listeners, Sean, will have heard about the work looking at seaweed and seaweed extracts and the potential for those seaweed extracts to reduce methane emissions. So that's a very interesting area of research. We can give a very small amount of an additive to a cow or to a sheep to reduce the amount of methane they produce. But also what we're looking at is how we can change the food or the feed that those animals eat every day, the grass and the herbs that they eat every day. And is there potential to use that approach to reduce the emissions from our animals also? And that's, we have some very encouraging research work underway at the research farm at Lyons looking into this area.
Tell me a bit more about that. How is it encouraging and what have you seen?
The area we're focused on at the moment is a concept called multi-species swards. So the whole idea behind a multi-species sward is that we give animals a wide choice of plants to eat. So our multi-species swards will contain different types of plants. You know, some would be grass that we're familiar with, not too unlike what people would have growing in their lawn. Then we have a group of plants called legumes. And legumes are really, they're a really unique plant grouping, because they can actually take nitrogen from the atmosphere and transfer it into a form which can be used by the plant to support plant growth. And that means we don't need to apply as much chemical fertilizer to allow these plants to grow. And then we also have the group, another group of plants called herbs, and plants such as chicory would be included in that group. And they give various other benefits to the animal, whether it changes how their digestive system works, or they can also, in fact, make the animals more resistant to infections from various types of parasites which might inhabit the digestive system.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how we can reduce our reliance on chemicals to tackle parasites, and describe some of the benefits from that, please?
Yeah, and this reduction of chemicals, it's an important topic in agriculture at the moment, and in all aspects of life. And our knowledge of how the chemicals interact with the animal and with the environment has evolved over the last 30 to 40 years. And I suppose if you want to look at it this way, there was a long period where we could rely, or we could depend on chemical intervention to support a lot of our animal health issues in particular. Now, as we are learning, and we see the same thing in human health, continued use of some of these medicines has led to a resistance problem. So we're looking at, again, using the natural diet which the plants, or which the animals consume, or the plants they consume, to control these parasite infections. And we had some work conducted at our research farm in UCD Lyons in the last couple of years, where simply by changing the type of plants the animals are eating, we reduced the requirement to administer medicine to control parasites by 50%. That's potentially huge impacts for the industry. Not only do these chemicals we use to control parasite infections, not only are they very good at controlling or killing the parasites, but they can also have carry-on effects in the environment where they will kill other species which are not necessarily their target.
So it's clear you have a vision for bringing in a more environmentally friendly way of producing our cattle and sheep. So when might that vision become a reality?
Well, I think there's no one single vision here, Sean, and I think that's something we need to be careful about. We need to move away from this concept of a single solution or one size fits all, because that really hasn't served us very well in the past. So the work we're doing, it'll be part of a selection of tools at the farmer's disposal to allow systems to become more environmentally sustainable and more economically sustainable as well. We can't just talk about sustainability as a single metric. It has to look at the entire gambit of sustainability. Farmers today are currently planting some of these swards and seeing the results. As researchers, it's our role and our responsibility to provide the information that will support our industry, support our farmers, support our farm families to best adapt and adopt the new technology so they can implement it on their farms and continue the good work that many farmers around the country are doing in producing high quality food and at the same time supporting biodiversity and the sustainability of our environment.
Can you give me some specific examples of benefits we are likely to see?
Yeah, so we're looking at, our work on with these new types of swards, we've seen improvements in biodiversity. You know, people can identify very easily with the earthworm and with bumblebees in many instances. You know, so by offering a more diverse range of plants in the sward, it has the potential and it does increase earthworm populations. And when these plants go to flower, you know, it provides a food source for various pollinators, not only the bees. By reducing the amount of chemical fertilizer we need to apply to these swards, and you know, we can apply 50% less fertilizer to these multi-species swards and still grow the same amount of feed for our animals. So you have an environmental saving there from reducing the amount of nitrous oxide emissions and reducing the amount of carbon associated with the spreading of that artificial fertilizer. And the presence of these different plants in the soil, it improves the structure of the soil, so it makes it better for water to travel down through the soil, so we get less damage in wet weather conditions because the water doesn't sit on top of the soil, it travels down into the soil and is integrated into the soil in a much more rapid fashion. Our animals grazing these swards and the research we've conducted at Lyons with sheep will show that the animals will be finished more quickly, so they will reach their target finish weight at a more rapid pace, basically reducing their lifetime methane emissions. So at the moment, there are a number of benefits we know in sheep systems. We're researching these swards now in cattle systems and in dairy cow systems to see if those same benefits carry true. And my colleagues here in UCD and the Technological University of Dublin are also conducting research looking at what impact that has on the quality, both from a constituent point of view and from an eating quality point of view, on the meat and milk produced by these animals.
So how does your research feed into the effort to make farms viable and thus helping rural Ireland generally?
Yes, and you know, I'm from rural Ireland, I still live in rural Ireland, and you see the central role that farmers play and farming communities play in rural Ireland and the absolute importance of those farms and those farmers and those farming communities in maintaining the viability of rural Ireland. You know, and if we as researchers can conduct research that leads to tangible impacts and benefits on the ground, then I think it's a good day's work on our behalf, but we need to keep in mind, you know, what we study and what we research at our university farm, that needs to be implemented at farm level for it to have impacts at a national level. So these individual farm impacts will come together and lead to impacts at national level. It's futile for us just simply to conduct research and that research stops at the publication of a peer-reviewed paper or the preparation of a thesis for a PhD or a master's student.
You are listening there to Tommy Boland, Professor of Ruminant Nutrition and Sheep Production, describing his research aimed at producing ruminant animals, most notably cattle and sheep, in a more environmentally friendly way.
That's all for this, our first episode of Agri-Food Matters. If you'd like to get in touch with us or to make suggestions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. please email me, Sean Duke, presenter of Agri-Food Matters, at seancduke@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take time to rate it or review it on the iTunes podcast platform or any of the other podcast listening platforms on which it's available, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. I'd like to also thank Dr. Edel Kelly and Damien Dempsey for their useful comments and suggestions during the preparation of this first episode, and Professor Alex Evans for getting behind the project. Until next time then, I wish you and your family good health from all of us here at Agri-Food Matters.